Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, a co-production of EWTN Radio and SpiritualDirection.com, where we provide you with a spiritual haven of rest and explore the riches of the wisdom of the saints and the path to union with God.
This is Dan and Stephanie Burke. Welcome to Divine Intimacy Radio, your radio haven of rest.
Your hermitage of the heart.
Your monastery of the mind, where we lift our hearts and minds to heaven to draw upon the wisdom of the saints. And we have a living saint with us, Mrs. Susan Brinkman. Miss Susan Brinkman, how are you doing, Sue?
I'm doing wonderful today, and thank you for the introduction. No one has ever introduced me that way.
As a saint
in the making. In the making.
Oh, I didn't say in the making.
I'm in the making.
Okay. We're all in the making, right?
That's right. Saint in the making.
Yes, absolutely.
Well, I'm trying.
It's great to talk with you today. You and John at Bankovic, Women of Grace, have done the most in-depth, ongoing research on the New Age and false teachings that surround that of anyone in the church. I don't know of a bigger compendium, folks. What's the best URL, by the way, for folks to get into that archive?
For our Q&A blog, our New Age blog?
Wherever they can find all this.
Womenofgrace.com. It's right on the homepage, womenofgrace.com. Just scroll down to New Age Q&A, and it'll take you right into the blog.
What got you interested in this topic? I remember... You did a series of articles for a newspaper you worked for. Was it in Philadelphia?
Yeah, the Catholic Standard and Times.
Yeah,
Standard and Times in Philly.
300 years ago, right?
Yeah, many, many years ago. I can't believe it was that long. Oh, in 2003, I got started in this. And believe it or not, my editor came up to me and she said, the Vatican just published a document called Jesus Christ, the Bearer of the Water of Life, and I want you to report on it.
Yeah.
So I had to read it. And I was reading this and I was like, what is this stuff? What are they talking about?
Yeah.
And I started to investigate it and look into this stuff. And the one part that really got me was section 4, which was all on the health. And they were talking about this chi and ki and prana and life force, universal life force. And I thought, what is this stuff? What is this energy? I've never heard of this before. But I knew that it was very much involved in Reiki. And that sort of thing it underpins acupuncture. So much stuff is based on this chi, this energy. And in my investigation, I found out that science has never substantiated the existence of that energy.
Right.
Even though we're extremely sophisticated enough to come up with veritable forms of energy, such as monochromatic radiation and the electromagnetic forces, things that will we use for the MRIs in that.
Yeah.
We can measure energy. We can detect it and measure it. They can't do that with chi and ki. They've never been able to do that. They can't find it. And Dan, they've been looking for it since the time of Sir Isaac Newton. And they haven't found this.
That's a bit of time.
Really? And I, the more research I did into it, the more upset I got about it. Because I said, to my editor, I said, this is a consumer ripoff.
Right.
These people are paying so much money for this stuff. And it's based on nonsense. It's not there. The energy is not there.
Have you, you just reminded me of the ripoff thing. Do you remember the article in the National Catholic Register? I think it was written by Tom Hoops called The Reiki Racket.
Yes.
That's a great
well
phrase.
Done. Oh, he's right up my alley. I that's what started it, Dan. That is what started it. And my editor said, well, if you're that upset about it, write about it. And then I went into that and we would get questions from people so that I would research more sections of that document. And before you knew it, I was doing this all the time. And those articles became a series and they were picked up by other diocese newspapers and that sort of thing. That's how I got started. I got started with energy medicine.
But why does it matter? So what? Let people believe what they want to believe. Have you ever had that argument thrown at you?
Yes.
If I'm a good Catholic, what does it matter if I put needles in my, or have somebody put needles in me for energy, or people, flutter their fingers over my back to heal. What's it matter? What's the big deal?
Because it's not the truth. It isn't the truth. And we should be living for the truth in this life. And that's one thing, Dan, that they don't want to do nowadays. Everything is subjective. Objective truth is just blasé. Nobody wants to talk about that. That's the problem. And I think what's happened in time is we have just brought back, or maybe it never really left, transcendentalism.
Right.
Because that's become what they're doing now out there is just mixing and matching things. They're saying, hey, I don't need to my mind to believe in anything. I can just go on my intuition and my self-reflection and my feelings. And, you know, those of us who are into Catholic spirituality will tell you, you know, feelings are the worst indicator of anything spiritual. That's you want to get away from that because God is spirit. And the closer you get to God, the less you're going to feel with your senses. But this type of seeker, and I call them seekers because that's what they're doing. They're looking. They are looking. They're being led by their feelings, what feels good to them. Yeah. And they don't really care if it's true. They don't really care. The things that are so big right now among, you know, the nuns, N-O-N-E, nuns, are things like tarot, astrology, a crystal.
Enneagram, Jordan says Enneagram, our producer.
Enneagram is just remains. Enneagram is almost like a staple of that.
But the Protestants are hugely interested in it, which surprised me because they tend to be more, I don't know, rigid, I guess. I don't know what the word would be. But maybe that's an oversimplification. I was just surprised to see it there.
Yeah, I'm kind of surprised at that too. What strikes me is, you know, we have the quote from Hosea 4:6 here: "My people perish for lack of knowledge." And if you think about all of us as children of God, you know, I look at the nuns, N-O-N-E's, and I think back on my own brokenness, and I think there, but for the grace of God, go I, and that they are searching, as you said. They are seeking something, but who's teaching them? Like, where are they supposed to go? They're walking around, you know, they haven't been catechized. They haven't been, maybe they haven't been raised in faith, or they've walked away, or their homes are broken, their families are broken, and they're hurting. And they're saying, you know, if this is all that life's about, suffering and failure, and my feelings, then, you know, I'm out of luck, right? Can we look at it through that lens, Sue? I mean, what are your thoughts on that? I hurt for people who are lost, and I hurt for the lack of catechesis. I languish for them because that's not God's intent. You know, he says, my people perish for lack of knowledge. Those are his children, right?
Absolutely. And that particular scripture has just been sort of like a guiding light to Johnette and I over all these years that we've been working on this together to try to get that information to them in ways that are palatable to them and that they can read. We try never to be judgmental in what we present. We're just trying to give them the facts. I try to use, you know, my reporter's background in that. Just give them the facts, let them make up their own mind without telling them what to believe. But once you do lay out the facts, it becomes quite obvious as to what is true and what is false. Once you really start to lay things out side by side. But the one thing I do want to say before I get into that part of it is that as long as they're seeking, and I like to say this to people who are upset about their friends or their children or spouses who are involved in New Age, they don't know how to stop them. And I say, look, as long as they're seeking, they can be found. Jesus can find them.
Yeah.
And the number one thing you can do for them right now, especially those who don't want to hear it. We get that all the time. Well, they don't want to hear it. Every time I show them something, they just give it back. Oh, you and your Catholic stuff, you know. Pray. Pray. That's your main weapon. And I'm not just saying that because I'm a Carmelite. If there's a little crack somewhere in that heart of theirs that's making them seek, Jesus can come in there with grace. Mm-hmm. But he's got to soften them up. He's not going to go against their will. Pray. Pray that person's heart will be changed.
Right.
And sooner or later, that will happen. So that should always be your first order of the day. Then, try to get them knowledge and information. I do blogs because they're short, you know, 800 to 1,000 words. It's not a whole book. I mean, Learn to Discern Compendium is kind of like a little intimidating to people. It's 400 some pages and that. But give them just a track, if you want to call it a track, just a blog to read. And we've had a lot of success with that. We give it to teachers and stuff at school. Why can't I have Harry Potter books in my school? And, you know, why shouldn't we be doing yoga in school? And I'll just send them a track and have them back to say, I didn't know this.
Right.
I had no idea about this. How many people have said that? I can't even count, Stephanie. How many people have said to me, I never knew this before?
Right, right, right. You know, it goes back to Fulton Sheen saying people don't truly hate the Catholic Church. They hate what they think the Catholic Church is.
Yes.
And I think that's it, is that we're all seeking and we're lost and we don't even know what we're seeking for, you know, what we're languishing from. It reminds me of something that Dan and I have prayed for our family members, and maybe some of our listeners can appreciate this. Is one of our prayers is, Lord, help them go to the pigs and quickly. You know, the prodigal son, as he's standing there amongst the pigs, and he goes, you know, why am I here? In my father's house, I have all that I need, blah, blah, blah. And so then he goes back with his heart in his hands and goes, you know, I've sinned against you. So we pray that our loved ones go to the pigs fast.
So that I love back. That. You have to have a sense of humor when you're doing yeah. this kind of work, you know?
Oh, you have to. You have to.
Absolutely.
You know, related to that comment, and I want to go back. I want to say, talk about one thing, go back to something you said earlier. The parents usually who are lamenting over their children or family members or whatever, the biggest problem I see with them, and I wonder if it's, they're trying to catechize the unconverted.
Oh.
So they're trying to get people to believe things or to conform their life to things that are not Catholic, but these folks don't embrace the Catholic faith or the faith as the central reality of their lives. Do you think that, you know, how does that play in truth and receptivity to truth?
They don't know Jesus.
Right.
They don't know him. They don't know him. They have no relationship at all with him. They don't know who he is. If they're reading the newspapers, if they not newspapers, but the online news, if they're reading that, they're getting what I call the straw man Jesus. Right. And that's where they cherry pick scripture. They create a Jesus that really isn't Jesus. He's a transphobe, xenophobe, you know, whatever. And so that they can knock him down and look like they're progressive.
Yeah, there's also a new age Jesus as well.
Who accepts, you know, who embraces your sin and encourages it, right?
Yeah. Yes, yeah, and yes, and that's promoted by everybody. End of life experiences are like that. How many end of life experiences do you ever meet Jesus by name now, Jesus, and have a judgment?
Right.
Never. That's because the New Agers have co-opted that whole field, and they, oh no, you don't need a judgment. It's just the light, and the light is loving, and you have not created any sins. You can do no wrong.
Yeah,
these are the things that they're told, but they don't know Jesus. That's so the, and I, yeah.
Sorry,
I know. I can talk and talk and talk.
No, it's all good. We're going to go to a break. After the break, I want to go back to your comment about truth and about whether or not these things are true, and what St. Paul called doctrines of demons in the New Testament. I want to know the consequences of believing and chasing a lie and how that relates to the demonic. So we'll be right back with Susan Brinkman.
The beautiful fact that no suffering is wasted, that all suffering has a purpose, and to wrestle with the idea, which is that everything that happens in our lives is either willed or permitted by God. Okay, God, why would you permit these things? I know that you're a good father and you're a loving father. So there's something there. So I have to bridge this gap between your permission of my suffering to your love for me as a father. And Uniformity with God's Will, the book by St. Alphonsus Liguori, bridges that gap. And he explains, as only he can, because he's such a hard hitter, the reality that these are all moments of growth, of virtue, of, hey, your legs are weak. You're like a newborn deer. You can't stand on your own. We need to get you to stand on your own. You know, those sorts of things. Even desolation, you know, the day-to-day kind of the ebbs and flows of the spiritual life. Those things are all permitted for a greater good, whatever that might be.
Check out the brand new updated version of Uniformity with God's Will titled Finding Peace in the Storm with commentary by Dan Burke.
Welcome back to Divine Intimacy Radio. This is Dan and Stephanie Burke, and we're with Susan Brinkman, who is an expert, journalist, researcher, all-around awesome human being, on the topic of discernment, and is it, what are the teachings we're looking at actually Catholic? Are they New Age? Are they demonic? Whatever.
Are they safe? Are they dangerous?
Are they safe? Are they dangerous? In a second, I'm going to have her comment on the consequences of believing things that are not true. But before I do, I just want to let you know this show is sponsored by Holy Habits. And if you have ever struggled with developing virtue, overcoming sin, you know, the practical nature of having accountability with another, if you've wanted to have a rule of life and figure out what your root sin is, we've developed an app called Holy Habits that will help you in those ways using modern technology for something good mm-hmm. and powerful. So check that out in either the Android or Apple platforms and download it and let us know what you think.
Right.
All right. So cool. Back to Susan. So Susan, you said at the beginning, well, acupuncture isn't true. Reiki isn't true in the sense that there's no scientific evidence, though we have the ability to measure energy. And so thus, you know, there isn't any. So that's all well and good. So to say something is false, but there's more to it than just rationality. There's stuff behind all this stuff.
Yeah, because it has an effect. Right. Otherwise, it would just be pretend.
Right.
But it does have an effect. So what are the dangers?
Where's the effect coming from?
Why is it problematic for individuals to engage in this?
Because of the discouragement that it causes them when they figure it out, and they will figure it out. And I'm mm-hmm. talking from experience here because I was involved in a lot of this stuff. I'm not preaching at people, but you're looking for something, you need something, you're so needy, and you're reaching for these things, and you truly are putting all your hope in them that yeah. they're going to help you. They're going to make the pain go away, and the pain doesn't go away.
Right.
So what happens after that?
Yeah.
You become discouraged.
Yeah.
And boy, does he love discouragement. Boy, does Satan love discouragement, because now you're just like eaten out of his hand at this point, because yeah. he can just come right over there to you and just swing you any which way he wants. And he's leading you away from God. He's leading you away from the natural law, from what is natural, from what is good. And he's leading you into dark places. And that's what happened to me uh-huh. when I started falling into this stuff. I needed some encouragement from somewhere, and I went to the wrong places for it. And what did that do? It only made it worse.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I look at all the depression, the rates of depression, the rates of suicide in our culture right now, especially among young people. And you got to wonder, Dan and Stephanie, you got to wonder what all are these dear lambs becoming involved in trying to help themselves. And it's the wrong path.
Yeah.
And it's leading them into darkness.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. What it reminds me of is, you know, how Satan works with all of us, right? So he gives us false consolations. He leads us along a path. He gives us all kinds of promises. This will relieve the pressure. This will relieve the pain. Just do this one thing and you're going to feel better, and you're going to get what you need and feel better and be rich and be good looking and, you know, be powerful, whatever it is. Right. And then once he has you, then he's going to come claim you. Because now you've made an agreement. And I think that's part of what we need to understand with the dangers of this, is that we're making an agreement. We're making pacts. We're giving over authority to something that's not God. And there will become a reckoning of it. And then when you're too weak and too broken, that reckoning comes to call. I mean, there's a way out. We can call to the Lord. Jesus is stronger than all of this. Helping people understand this will get you into trouble. It will destroy your life, right?
That's right. You got to watch out for portals. You do not want to open a portal. And anytime you turn towards something like that, and it doesn't matter what your intentions are. People will say, but I didn't intend to get involved with the devil. He doesn't care about your intentions because he doesn't play fair. If right. once you turn away from God and toward another power to help you, you have now opened a portal.
Yeah.
And he now has much more direct influence over you. Before you open the portal, he can only tempt you through or use temptation, in other words, in a way to get at you. He can only use the ordinary means to do that, which is mm-hmm. temptation. But once you open the door, now he can get into your head. Now you're starting to talk about oppression and obsession. And of course, in the more rare cases, possession. But now you're allowing more extraordinary manifestations of Satan into your life because you open the door. And when you open the door, you give him authority. He has to have authority in order to come in there because he's very legalistic. I know his father, Martin, says he is annoyingly legalistic.
Yeah, he's constrained mm-hmm. to
very,
that.
Very, well, exactly. That's a good word. I like that word. But he And you've given them that authority with your own free will. You've turned toward your horoscope, the tarot cards to find out your future. You've turned toward these things, and that's opened the door to him. And now he has authority to come and harass you, and he will.
And this is what I was looking to get to when we were talking about truth or a lie, because in the end, truth leads you to God, lies lead you to the devil. An analogy has come to my head, and I wonder if you think how accurate it is or how true it may be. So Jesus said, my sheep hear my voice. They know my voice and they hear my voice. They follow me. So how do you get to know the voice of God? Well, you listen to the voice of God in scripture primarily. That's the most prominent source, you know, of course, the magisterium of the church, that sort of thing. And as you do it a lot, you get practice in it and you're drawn to it. You give yourself to it habitually. Do you find it the same thing occurring with the New Age and these kinds of lies, in the sense that if you orient yourself to listening to the voice of the devil, so to speak, or doctrines of demons, which St. Paul calls them, then how likely are you to then be attuned to other deceptions related to the demonic?
Absolutely, I think you are, because I just look at my own, you know, transgression from one thing to the next, mm-hmm. and how I went from, you know, the prosperity gospel, and then from the prosperity gospel went to starting to see the psychics, then to getting the natal charts done and all that kind of stuff. I could see how I was going. I was developing a taste for it, mm-hmm. a taste for it. He was feeding off my discouragement and my despair, right? And he was using that. That was the ring in my nose. Mm-hmm. And he was using that to lead me to one thing or the other. And I was developing a taste for these things because they all offered me hope. Oh, maybe this is going to work. Maybe, oh, listen, look what the psychic said about my future. This is so exciting. Mm-hmm. And I was, he was allowing me to feed off of these things. And I was developing a taste for it, Dan. Exactly. That's what happens when you're with Jesus. You develop a taste for Jesus. You know, his voice, when you hear it, you just know it's him. The peace that comes over you, the joy that settles over your heart, you know that you're in the presence of God. Mm. It's the same thing with the darkness and the evil. You feel yourself, and he doesn't appear as darkness, right, to us. He doesn't feel like darkness to us. He feels like this hope, but there's an emptiness to it. Mm. There's no depth to it. It's all, okay, this might work. This might work. And leading. You're sort of, yeah, leading. And you're frantic, a little bit frantic about it. It's a fix. I like that word, fix. It's a fix of some kind and gives you the juice. You know, I'm going to pick myself out of these doldrums and I'm going to go after this. This is going to work.
Right, right. It's rooted in false hope. So something interesting that you said, and I want to get your take on it. You know, you said it was like a ring in your nose and he would play on your discouragement, your hopelessness, all of those things. How does that connect to our woundedness? I really want to hear your take on that, because to me, boy, that's at the key of this. He knows our playbook, right? So, and he knows where we're weak. So how did you figure out how the enemy was working on your own woundedness?
That's what he does. He goes for your weak spot. He goes for your weak spot. He loves to kick a man when he's down. So he looks for that place in you where you are the most vulnerable. And where is that? In your woundedness. Mm-hmm. And that's where he sets the ring. Mm-hmm. And he goes right in there and he gets that. And now he starts to lead you through that ring. And all of the brokenness that surrounds that wound, and that is the result of that wound, he plays on all of those things, and he plays you like a fiddle, in a way, and he just leads you from one thing to the next, and you go willingly, mm-hmm. because you're wounded and you have no one to protect you if you're not in a state of grace.
Right.
You've got to get yourself into a state of grace if you want to have protection from that. Yes, the demon is leashed, but if you're out there provoking him and following after him, God's not going to interfere with your free will. Mm-hmm. You're doing that on your own.
Right.
And you've now stepped beyond the realm of his protection, and all that woundedness of yours is just leaving you wide open. That's one of the major ways that Satan gets a hold on a person is through their wounds.
Right, right, right.
With false promises. And the thing that we have to be honest about, though, that I think is one of the most difficult aspects of all of this, is that some of the remedies actually do have a temporal feeling of positive association. I remember interviewing a woman who was practicing mindfulness as a devout Catholic, and she had tangible benefits. But my concern is, one, that is that because it's coming out of a false belief system, is that going to lead her into, as we've talked about, a deeper susceptibility for more of that false teaching? Two, will it be a long-term solution? Because it's not, the real solution of coming to peace is not, you know, breathing and being aware of the temperature of your ankles. It's relationship with Jesus and deep relationship with Jesus and trust. So I think it's really important to realize that these people who are searching out things, these things are not to be condemned. And we're actually coming to the end of the show here, but not to be condemned, but to be commended in a way for seeking. I mean, and that's the way we can reach them. We can say, I know that you're sincere, and I know that you really want to be whole and to be well. But there are ways to do that that are poisonous and ways to do that that are healthy. So we're going to do a second show with Susan Brinkman. If you've enjoyed this, check out part two, and you will be able to do that on EWTN's website, but also on spiritualdirection.com and on our YouTube page. So if you're enjoying Susan Brinkman, check out her book, Learn to Discern, a compendium, Is It Christian or New Age? Fantastic book. Thank you, Sue, for being with us on Divine Intimacy Radio.
Thanks for having me.
Until next time, may the God of peace make you perfect in holiness. May he preserve you whole and entire, spirit, soul, and body, irreproachable, at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Learn more about the interior life. Visit spiritualdirection.com. Divine Intimacy Radio is a co-production of EWTN Radio and spiritualdirection.com, and heard worldwide on the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network.